Welcome to the 180 Podcast. You are listening to a teaching of the 180, a new church committed to learning to love Jesus and love like Jesus. Our prayer is that God would use this teaching to help you grow closer to Him and that you would feel moved to join us in person, where you can grow in community with the larger 180 family.
Bienvenue à la balado-diffusion de l'Église 180. Vous écoutez un enseignement de l'Église 180, une nouvelle Église qui s'est engagée à apprendre à aimer Jésus et à aimer comme Jésus. Notre prière est que Dieu utilisera cet enseignement afin de vous aider à vous rapprocher de lui et que cela vous donne envie de vous joindre à nous en personne où vous pourrez vous épanouir au sein de la communauté qu'est la grande famille de l'Église 180.
It's so good to be back. I mentioned earlier, my family and I, we were away just for about a week, got away. It was great to rest. I'm so thankful for our elders, for the chance for us to do that, and even our staff. We have a wonderful staff, and I think about a new year coming up and all the good things that God has in store for us and for you. And you might not know this, but as a pastor of a church, I have so many prayers and expectations for you. I know that might bother you because you don't want anybody telling you what to do. I know some of you, like, don't tell me what to do. But I pray for many of you, and I think of many of you. And I think of many of you that are just on the cusp of experiencing God's love and His goodness in a new way this year. Some of you, I know that, you know, maybe you're ready to just serve for the first time or give for the first time or be baptized or share with your family that you're understanding God's love in a new way. And all these things that God has in store for us, and many of those things we can prepare for, but many of the things that are going to happen in 2025, we can't prepare for. They're going to surprise us and overwhelm us and scare us. And so part of what we want to do as a church is to become the kind of people that learn to trust Jesus no matter what. No matter what comes our way. And there's actually a passage in scripture I want to begin with. You'll see it on the screen that kind of frames what it's like to set our plans and to lead them in the hands of God. This year, see behind me, it says this: better to have little with godliness than to be rich and dishonest. We should all say amen to that. We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. This comes from the Proverbs. We did actually a whole teaching series on the Proverbs a few months ago as a church. And the Proverbs are a book of wisdom, just wisdom writings that help us to think about our life. And I love this. I think for me, a lot of verses like this even help me pray for my kids. They help me pray for the kinds of things I hope they long for in their life. In a world that says it's okay to be dishonest, it's okay to cheat, it's okay to do whatever you have to do to get ahead, I want them to remember that their plans, no matter how important, need to be left in the hands of God. Now, when I was younger, I think I read passages like this that said, you know, God will determine our steps. And I often thought that means I don't have to do anything. I don't know if you ever thought about this. Like, there's a whole doctrine in Christianity called the doctrine of God's sovereignty, that God has His ways unfolding in the world. And sometimes we can trust in God's sovereignty, and that means we do nothing. It's an idea that I think for a lot of people they misunderstand. And it comes with a certain temptation that I want to tell you is going to maybe find each one of us this year as we head into 2025. And I kind of framed it in a very simple graph. You'll see it on the screen. I think all of us this year will be tempted to come up with goals, resolutions, hopes, dreams, whatever, that are either really selfish, meaning they're just about us. They're just things that are going to make your life better, your kids better, your job better, things that are just about you. And you know, we live in a world that's going to fan this and fuel this in us. What's best for my kids? What's best for my family? Just about us. And there's a tension that I feel and that you feel that just kind of leans in that direction. Am I skinnier? Am I smarter? Am I wealthier? It's just about you. That's going to be there. And it's not going away, right? And if you don't like those, there's even, am I looking younger? Am I looking fit? Am I, you know, all these things? Am I sexy? Not that anybody worry about that, but there's apps that are selling all kinds of things to us. And those are not going away anytime soon. But the other side is that if you don't get caught in that, you then get caught in the fact that who even needs plans? You know what? It's this idea of being slothful. Slothful is this big word that means being lazy, doing nothing. You know, because if God is already going to direct our path, why am I going to do anything? What's meant to be is going to be. Anybody ever say that? Don't say it around me because I'll lose my mind. I hate when people say that because it means like I don't have to do anything. And actually what the passage is calling us to is calling us to be people who make plans but then surrender those plans to the ways of God. I hope you know that we have a church of leaders and elders and staff and finance team that is making plans into the new year. You expect that of us. And we are excited about that, but we're learning what it means to surrender even those good plans to the ways of God. And to say, Jesus, surprise us. Do something we never expected. Multiply the little that we give to you. call us to a deeper place of trust so that other people in this world will learn what it means that they too are called to surrender to your ways. Whenever you hear the word surrender, one of the things we want you to think about is a phrase that you were introduced to last week, is this idea of the kingdom of heaven. We've actually started the 2025 year with a teaching series looking at the Gospel of Matthew and this phrase where he uses, you'll just see it in the subtitle on the screen. In the Gospel of Matthew, what does it mean that we see our life for the new you, who we are? You'll go back to the first slide, and you'll just see it in the kind of the caption. What's the wisdom from Matthew's gospel about who we're called to be in light of this idea of the kingdom of heaven? If you were here last week, you probably remember this. The kingdom of heaven is not about going to heaven. Okay, just remember that. The idea of the kingdom of heaven is not just about where I go when I die. Because let me tell you, like, when I hear the word heaven, that's what I think of automatically. Part of it's our culture. Part of it's not kind of natural. Maybe you think of a movie or a commercial or whatever. But actually, when Jesus talks about heaven, he talks about something that's more beautiful and more available to us even now on this earth. Think about that. The kingdom of heaven is this expanse of ways that King Jesus, who was once in a manger, is now an adult and teaching and calling people to follow him. It was so nice when Jesus was just a baby. So nice when we could just say, baby Jesus. So nice. Contained. But now Jesus has grown up. And he comes in the power of the Spirit. And as he starts to teach, he's not just telling people, be a good person so you go to heaven. He's saying, you need to follow me to understand the ways of the kingdom of heaven. That the values of heaven are breaking into our world. I've never met anyone who doesn't want to go to heaven, but I know a lot of people who don't want the values of heaven in their life. There's a lot of people who want to go to heaven one day and they want to live their life for themselves. But Jesus doesn't let us do that. He actually says, if you love heaven, you want to be those who want to welcome my ways and my values and all the things I have for you now as those who are being formed by this idea of the kingdom of heaven. That might be hard to understand. So for the next few weeks, we're going to kind of talk about this more together and kind of keep unpacking this for you. But we're doing this primarily because Matthew's gospel in your Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so Matthew, he uses this phrase consistently when he's saying that this is what Jesus was talking about all the time. Now, I made a really, really simple kind of slide just for context. I don't want to repeat this because it was last week. You can go back and watch it. But Matthew uses this phrase for a very unique reason. One is that Matthew is writing his gospel primarily to people who are Jewish. The first listeners of Matthew's gospel are Jewish. So Matthew knows that if you're Jewish, saying the name of God is actually very sacred. So people who heard the name of God, if they were Jewish, they kind of felt like offended or sacred. So when he writes to Jewish people, instead of saying the kingdom of God, which you will see in other gospels, he will say the kingdom of heaven, knowing that the word kingdom of heaven is more receptive for them to hear and understand and be able to understand what Jesus is saying. Now, I love this about Matthew because Matthew is so sensitive to how people will hear what Jesus wants to teach them. You know, I grew up sometimes thinking of preachers and people who preach from the Bible, and they always used to say this. You know, when you preach the Bible, you have to be offensive. You have to be unapologetic. You have to offend the world. And yet Matthew doesn't do any of that. Matthew's like, let's be sensitive. We don't want you to miss the big picture here. And he's actually so sensitive to use language that people who are hearing him will understand what Jesus is saying. As a church, one of our values is to be the kind of church that lives in the tension of giving people the truth and love. And trying to do this, love cut out. Did you miss the love part? Truth and love. I was like, truth and nothing. That's the podcast version. Truth and love, right? That's what we want people to experience. Matthew's so aware of this. And the other thing too, what Matthew's going to do to unpack this idea is he's going to give us these parables, these sayings, to kind of get into the idea of like, what is the kingdom of heaven? Like, what is it actually like? Can anybody just go? Do you have to do anything to get there? And so in a few minutes, I'm going to show you some parables where Matthew will do this. But in a simple way, if you want a definition, or if you want to just remember that the kingdom of heaven is a vision of your life and my life based on the fact of who Jesus is and what he's about to do, that helps us understand that the rule and reign of God is unfolding on earth as it is in heaven. Have you ever heard that phrase before? On earth as it is in heaven? You know where it comes from? It comes from the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. That even in their praying, everything that they do from now on because of Jesus will make them have to think about the kingdom of heaven. That somehow the ways of heaven, the values of heaven, all the things that have to do with wanting to be in heaven begin to unfold in our lives now while we're still on earth. And this will change everything for the people who are listening. So one of the things I want to do is in Matthew chapter 13, if you have a Bible, I hope you maybe do this this week, you can read all of Matthew chapter 13. And throughout the chapter, Jesus will use these different parables, kind of looking at the kingdom of heaven like from a different direction. It's almost standing from here, he'll stand from here, he'll stand from here. And these parables are not easy to understand. You think like of Jesus being like just sharing tips. He shares stuff that is like, what is he talking about? So just to begin, let me read one of them. This is what it says. You'll see it on the screen. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells everything that he has and buys that field. Isn't that beautiful? Now Jesus says, if you want to understand what the kingdom of heaven that is unfolding in your midst is going to be like, it's going to be like a person who realizes that there's some things about the ways of God that are hidden and not always easy to see right away. They're hidden actually in a field, and then when somebody finds them, they realize all the other things I have are worth nothing compared to that. And so one of the things I think about right away for us in 2025, one of my prayers for our church and for you, is that you would realize that all the things you're chasing this year are worth nothing compared to the good things Jesus has for you. Nothing. Because when you understand that, there's a kind of freedom of not only being generous, but of saying, like, I'm going to even sell the things that I have that I thought were important because I want more of what Jesus is talking about. I want more of this way of life. I want to surrender to these kinds of things. And for us who are reading the Bible today in a modern culture, we can miss how significant it is that this treasure of the kingdom is found in a field. You know, in Bible times, the people who worked the field were poor people. Poor people and many times slaves, people who owned the land, didn't work the land, just like today. Like if you're a big shot and you own things, you don't go cleaning the floor, right? And so Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is significant and sometimes seems so insignificant in culture. That there are people who are slaves and are set to kind of go and kind of work for someone else. And there as they work, God meets them there and the treasures of the kingdom are available to them. People would have been like, what? We thought like God only blesses people who are wealthy. We thought God only blesses people who are like in kind of the spiritual leaders and the religious leaders of the day. How would God bless us? I know so many people, when their lives are going through a difficult time, they wonder whether God is blessing them. When they're going through a struggle in their marriage, they wonder if God is really with them. This year, you're going to go through struggles. And can I ask you to remember that no matter how difficult it gets, you can still be a person who cares about the kingdom of heaven unfolding in your life. And you can say, Jesus, just find me there. Find me in the pain of that. And what's beautiful is that when they realize about the teachings of Jesus and this kingdom, they don't just take it and move on. They have to sell what they have and buy the land. This is one of the great secrets of Jesus, that when he uses parables, he uses them so people would come closer and keep asking questions, and then they would follow him so that they would understand what the parables mean. You know, that would drive many of us crazy, because I'm like, okay, tell me what you have to say in 2 minutes. Hurry up, I don't have time. Or can you send it to me in an email? I don't want to go to your meeting. Any of you hate meetings? You're going to be in hundreds of them. You're like, do we have to have a meeting? It would bother us the way Jesus teaches in a way that after he's done, you're like, I have more questions now than I had before. Like, I'm more lost. So Jesus would do this so the people would have to continue to follow him and continue to trust him and continue to realize that the kingdom of heaven is different than all the other kingdoms of this world. People in the Bible were just as tempted as you and I are to trust other things that are going to be offered to us in this world. What kinds of things are you going to be tempted to trust this year? I talked to some people already this year that are into like the stock market, and like if the word crypto, it's off the hook, right? Crypto, oh my gosh, let me tell you, I've been studying crypto. I'm like, I don't care what you have to say, I'm going to move on now, right? It's like people are looking for the next big thing, the next thing that's going to happen, the next promotion, the next thing online. All these things are ready to just tempt us and to call us to trust something else. Trust the next thing. Trust the quick fix. Trust a shortcut. You try that until you really struggle and you realize it's going to take more than a shortcut to heal some of the things. In the ancient world, when people thought about being tempted by all the things in the world, they thought of the ancient god Janus. The ancient god Janus is the ancient god of Rome and many who lived in the empire, who was the god of the ancient god of new beginnings. Actually, the month of January for us is named after the name of God. That's why January is called January, because Janus means the beginning, right? And so when people thought about a new beginning, they thought, how do we come to sacrifice to this God so that good things happen to us this year? And they would think about if we're having a child, they'd go bring a sacrifice. If they were getting married, they'd go bring a sacrifice. If they're starting a new job, you go bring a sacrifice. They were tempted because they were so afraid that if they didn't get everything right or have all the right things that appease the gods, their lives would fall apart. There's people I meet today that are so superstitious about every little thing that happens, dates, signs, this, that, and the freedom that Jesus offers us with the kingdom of heaven that's meant to make us not be afraid of things that happen, not be overwhelmed because maybe like we made a mistake and God's gonna send lightning from the sky to kill us. None of those things. That instead, in a world of all these other temptations, Jesus says, let me tell you about the kingdom of heaven. Let me tell you about this kingdom that is gonna unfold now, and those who love me and follow me and come and understand my teachings, their lives are gonna be transformed and different than any other thing they've ever seen before. This year, when you're tempted by all the different things, it won't be as different as all the things that the people in the Bible were tempted with. That new beginnings, maybe, you know, you hope you get it all right. And so what Jesus does next is he tells them another parable. And this is a lot more difficult to understand. And actually, it's so hard to understand this parable that at the end of the parable, you'll see, I'll get there in a second, Jesus will ask them, do you understand? Okay? When Jesus says, do you understand? He knows they're likely it's going to be hard for them to understand. If you're new to Christianity, this is important because maybe in the culture that we live in, there's this view that people who are Christians believe simplistic things. I know many people who think religion and faith and Christianity is for weak people. People who kind of need a crutch. They need to believe like Santa in the sky. They pray to some invisible person, right? And then I realized that people who believe that have never read anything about Jesus. They never actually read the Bible where Jesus says, hey, this is actually going to be hard to understand. So you ready for this parable? This is what he says next. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net that was thrown into the water and caught fish of every kind. When the net was full, they dragged it up onto the shore, sat down, fishermen, and sorted the good fish into the crates, but threw the bad ones away. This is the way it will be at the end of the world. You're like, what is this about? So Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven. It's not about going to heaven. But he says the kingdom of heaven is also a way for you to see your life even before you get to the end of your life. It's a way to understand your place in the world even before you realize what's going to happen at the end of the world. And he has this beautiful image that he uses. Now, I don't know much about fishing, right? And maybe some of you are fishermen or fisherwomen, right? But everybody in the Bible knows a lot about fishing. And there's only one thing worse than catching like all fish that are good and bad. It's catching no fish. Right? And this will happen with the disciples as well. And the disciples of Jesus are fishermen. They know this. They're like, this is good. I love when he does this. I love when he uses stories from our work. I love that. Like if it was today, Jesus would use something about the internet or our dumb cell phones, something that would make sense to us. Okay? But in the Bible, he's like, yeah, you guys know fishing. Okay, kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven, it's like these fishermen. And they pull in this net. And as they pull in this net, they realize that there's good fish and bad fish. And those who are shaped by the kingdom of heaven learn an essential thing. That God gives us the strength to be those who can keep focused on the good things even though we see bad things happening. This year, this is the greatest spiritual discipline you will have to learn. Because whenever bad things happen, I either get lazy or I start to complain about everything. Whenever bad things happen in the world, you know what you'll wonder? You know, does God really care about us? You believe in God? You believe in a good, what about those fires? What about those people lost their homes? What about the government? What about the education? What about, you know how easy that's going to be? But those who are shaped by the kingdom of heaven have this ability to say, in the end, God will sort things out. But for now, I want to be a person who can continue to focus on the good things that God wants to do, the good ways of God that have to happen, knowing there are bad things that happen. It's not being unrealistic. It's not being foolish. It's not being like positivity, everything's going to be great. No, no, no. There's bad things that are happening. There's evil people right now planning evil things. But the kingdom of heaven is unfolding. But the kingdom of heaven is breaking through slowly. And this is a great reminder for us because it forms patience in us. It forms a sense of trusting in God's peace when things are all messy. These are some of the things that the disciples of Jesus are going to learn as they keep following him. This year, each of us will have to learn to say, God, I want a perspective of my life that is aligned with the kingdom of heaven the way Jesus came to talk about it. so that my thoughts are so gripped about the good things that you want to do and the important things that you need to do and the eternal things that you're going to do that I will not get distracted with all the bad things that are actually there. And one of the ways you'll do that is by turning off your phone. You will develop a better discipline of saying, on my phone, on my TV, everything around this is wired to just tell us everything's burning. Everything's burning. And you know what? Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen next? And Jesus says, but the kingdom of heaven that is shaping people's hearts are able to realize that, yes, in the end, there will be a separation between the good and the bad. But now, the good things of God are starting to unfold in your midst. You know when you believe that in your heart, you want to be part of the good things that are unfolding in your midst. You want to start to be part of those things and say, God, where can I play my part? Or if that doesn't happen, you'll start to believe that God's not doing anything. Because if God did, why are bad things happening? This is such a common thing. And it's not just a common thing now. It was happening in the Bible times. And then just if we didn't have enough, we're like, Jesus, we got it. Time to go home. I'm hungry. He drops a bomb because he says that in the end, when this happens, this is also going to happen, that the angels are going to come. And this is what the angels are going to do. They're going to separate the wicked people from the righteous one, throwing the wicked into the fiery furnace, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh my gosh, it's wild. And then he says, by the way, do you understand all these things? Yes, they said, we do. Okay, let me be honest. Like if I was there, I'd be like, Jesus, I don't understand what you're talking about. They looked at each other, and you're like, you're going to say yes? I'm going to say yes. Let's say yes together. Ready? Yeah, we understand. And then later, they're like, what the heck was that? Fire, teeth, we got the fish. We know fishing. But we don't know about fire and teeth, and it sounds like language of the end where people are burning. And very quickly, you feel like as Jesus hinting at like the end when those who've been disobedient are in a place called hell. Jesus doesn't use that language, but he uses his language that there are consequences for people who never wanted the ways of the kingdom of heaven. That's what's so profound. Jesus is like, you don't have to want the kingdom of heaven, but if you don't want it, one day Jesus will give you what you've always wanted, which is not heaven. So kind. Right? You never wanted it now, you get what you've always wanted. And he uses this profound language for his disciples. But what's more profound about, he says that the separation of the good and the evil will be left to the angels, not to you. This is such good news. Because I am such a bad judge of character sometimes. I can look at someone and think, oh yeah, you're really committed to God, or you're a really, really good person. Or, and then I mess it up and I meet people. I'm like, they did what? You know how many times you're going to say that this year? That person did that? They looked so nice on the internet. On Instagram, they looked friendly. Their profile picture, they were holding a cat. This. You know how easy it is with filters to pretend like you're a nice person, but you will never fool the angels. Because the angels are going to know. And in the end, God says, you leave it with them. For you, be a person who lives in the values and the ways of the kingdom of heaven now. You do that. But I'm like, just a bit of judging. Can I judge a few people? Can I just pick on a few? No. This is the gift of the kingdom of heaven. That when you believe it, you stop judging other people. You stop having opinions about everything that you think you know better than other people. You realize angels are going to do this better way than I am. I'll leave it to them. I'm a person who's focused on the kingdom of heaven now and the ways of Jesus now. And I want to live in those ways and I want those ways to flourish. But I realize that the world is not a perfect place. It's a broken place and a sinful place. But the kingdom of heaven is unfolding in our midst. That's what Jesus says. Can I encourage you this year to pay attention to your heart and to the ways that maybe you'll be tempted to be like, oh, this kingdom of heaven, it's harder. I just want to believe in God and go to heaven when I die and do my own thing. You never get that with Jesus. You'd actually hate Jesus if that's what you want. Because at every moment, he's not just saying you need to believe in God and go to heaven. He's saying you should follow me and learn about the kingdom of heaven. It'll be so easy to say, I want to go to heaven. And so hard to be the kind of person that says, I want heaven's values to permeate my life. That's going to be the challenge for us this year. And it's going to be hard, and people hear this, and Jesus is like, I need you to understand this. And if you want, take the time and read all of Matthew 13, because he's going to keep sharing parables and a comment, and you're like, wow, that's amazing, and that's, I didn't see that coming, to kind of stretch us to think deeper. And at the end of this section, this is what Jesus is going to say. Just end with this section here. He says, therefore, every scribe and teacher of the law, which also means people who are listening to him, Because if the teachers of the law can do this, now listen to this, every tribe, every scribe and teacher of the law who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven. If you're taking notes, you should circle trained, meaning you can learn about the kingdom of heaven. You can grow in the ways of the kingdom of heaven. It's like a master of a house who brings out his treasure of what is new and what is old. It's almost like he begins the parable by saying, careful you don't live in a world where everything's just good and bad. To think of the kingdom as a space and a way of thinking where God is able to take what is old and to do something new. The reason this is so important, do you remember, does anyone remember who the first listeners of this gospel are? They're Jews. And they're trying to figure out this Jesus. Is he saying that everything we did in the past is bad? Is he saying that everything of Israel and the people of God and Moses and Abraham, all those things, is he like with that or is he like doing something else? Jesus is so wise. He says that the kingdom is a way of seeing the good things that were in the old and to also be ready in all the good things that are in the new. This is one of the profound things about the kingdom of heaven, because it's not just about going to heaven. It's about heaven unfolding now. And Jesus has a way of saying that I'm going to honor what you know of old, but I need you to be ready for all the things that are new. I thought about this parable because we did at the beginning of a new year, at the end of last year. And to wrap up, I just want to tell you that as a pastor, there's very few moments in my life where I can come up, give you an update, tell you how proud I am, celebrate where we've come from, tell you about where we're going. If you're a ministry partner, you know about some of our meetings. But I thought just to end, I want to tell you about how encouraging it's been for me, and I want it to be for you. And if you're watching online, we know you're a part of it as well. It's all the good things that God has done in our church with last year and the things that are going to come next year. What does it mean to look at the old things and then to be ready for the new things? Because at the beginning of last year, we felt that God was calling us to have a kingdom impact in our world, in our church, in your homes, in our schools, in the world. And we prayed and we planned and we surrendered our plans to God. And we said, God, do something special. We did that together. One of the things we did, we decided we would build a water well for our brothers and sisters in Ethiopia. We raised $20,000 and reached the goal of raising $20,000 to build that. So proud. So proud. I got an email from our brother in Ethiopia saying, we got all the funds, the engineers are on site, we're starting moving it. It's going to be so profound. My prayer is that we build a well every year. Some of them cost $50,000, so buckle up. But it's okay, we're selling everything we have anyway. We're ready to go. The other thing is, you knew that in December, we asked you to commit to giving generously so that we could finish strong. And that's like meeting just the budget commitments, our space, our heating, coffee, just everything that happens in the life of our church, our staff. Just if you're new here, you might not know this. In December of last year, our giving gifts in the month of December hit over 90,000 last year. So just so you know, we projected that this year we would have to be close to 90,000, right? But we went over 100,000 this year. These are the ways of the kingdom of God. Ways where when Jesus says, just give and be faithful, I will bless you. You've responded in that way. And as a pastor, I'm not aware what people give. I just get the trends and the updates from our finance team. But the other things of we responded to global relief needs in Asia. We met the needs of a local school. I've sat in homes where marriages are falling apart. With kids who thought their parents' marriage wouldn't survive. We're pouring into our youth and the next generation. Many of those things confidential, but our giving and our generosity and our prayers are letting us meet those needs. So just imagine what kingdom impact we're going to have in 2025. Just imagine. Our elders and our staff are praying about 2025 and thinking about a vision for leadership, developing new pastors. You know, we have over 800 people subscribed to our YouTube feed. We love you. Good to see you. I don't know how many of you use it, you're watching, but what does it mean to reach people online in a digital age in a new way? To do that better, more effectively, so that people feel connected to the life of our church. That's our goal as we head into 2025. We're celebrating the old things that were great, ready for the kingdom of heaven and all the new things that will emerge. We hope that you feel that in your heart and you're excited about being part of that, Because the kingdom of heaven is unfolding even as bad things in our world continue to happen. I'm going to have you stand and I'm going to pray for us. And for some of you maybe who are newer and this is kind of maybe confusing and you want to learn more about our church and the structures in place, which are incredible and important, Intro to the 180 is a good place to start. You want to learn about that? For some of you online watching us who've never been here in person and you give faithfully, thank you. We look forward to meeting you in person in 2025. And for some of you in this room who are just on the cusp of understanding that Jesus is calling you to see everything that you've been chasing your whole life as meaningless in light of the good things that he has for you, I pray that you would begin to surrender and trust him and give faithfully and pray and say, God, use me this year in a way that I never imagined. Let's pray that together as we close this morning. Let's pray. Father, you've been so good to us. Thank you for teaching us what it means to take the things that you've given to us and to surrender them back to you. I pray for anyone in this room who's still struggling with that. I pray that they would experience the freedom of the kingdom of heaven, the freedom of the good ways of Jesus, the ones that in the face and yet 3 days later be raised from the grave. Jesus, as we think about the community we live in, the world that we live in, our schools, our political systems, we all feel how broken they are. But we trust you today at the beginning of this year to make us the people who believe in the promises that you will help us focus on what is good in a world filled with bad things. Because your strength and your spirit and the ways of the kingdom are unfolding on earth as they are in heaven, because we are obedient. As we go now, would you go with us and help us to be excited for the new things you want to do this year? We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Hey, friends, we love you. Thankful for you. Hey, if you've never been in a Bible study, we'd love to see you on Wednesday. Over 30 people already signed up, so it'll be fun. And if you'd like to pray with someone, talk to someone, we have wonderful leaders just in our prayer space here up front. But hope to see you soon. God bless. See you online. See you soon. Love you all.